Well, good morning.
My name is Brenda, and I'm super excited to be able to chat with you a bit this morning. Anybody out there like puzzles? I know you don't, Jean. Anybody else? Our dog Oscar likes them too. For those of you that follow my Instagram, know that I have successfully completed, how do you say it? 3 incomplete puzzles. As soon as they hit the floor, I think he gets them before I even know the pieces are down there. Puzzles are kind of they're a way that I can, it's mindless, but it's still challenging. It's mindless, I can still carry on a conversation, or I can be in the basement while Jean's working or watching a game or something like that. But the thing that it's when you get stuck, for those of you that are puzzle people, when you get stuck, I just get up, I walk around to the other side of the table, and I look at the puzzle from a different perspective. And it's like, oh, well, boom, 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 here go all these pieces. And I think sometimes that's what we need, is just a different perspective or a different way of seeing something. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning, is hopefully a different way of seeing a truth that might click, might open up your thoughts a little bit. So go with me this morning as we kind of dive into this, a different angle and maybe a different voice to help us process a truth. Let's pray. God, I pray this morning for clear thoughts, clear words, and I pray that your words would hit the mark as each individual in this space this morning needs to hear from you. I pray against any confusion, any twisting truths. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would take this time and fill this place with your light and your love. Amen. So this morning, the question I want to ask you is, what really happened in the garden? What would you say, just shout it out, what would you say happened in the garden when Adam and Eve ate the fruit? What happened? What? Oh, they saw they were naked. Okay, I was looking for a one-word answer, but let's go. What would we call that? Sin. Sin. We'll get back to that in a bit. I know, we'll get back to that. It was good, Megan. So we would typically say sin happened. What I want to propose to you this morning is that that word sin wasn't mentioned until the next chapter. God didn't say, well, time out, let's go back. God said, here's the garden. This beautiful, beautiful garden like Whole Foods. In the middle of the garden is the tree of life. And he told Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything in this garden, except for you cannot eat the fruit off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he said what? He said, because if you do, you will surely. Okay, so he didn't say you will surely sin, right? He said you would surely die. He knew what would happen if they ate the fruit from that tree. So let's consider this morning that sin is a symptom of disconnection and are disconnecting from God. See, when Adam and Eve ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they disconnected from God as their source of power and kind of connected to self, because now they know they're naked. They know good and evil. So they became their own source of power in this new source of information, of knowing good and evil. So they didn't literally die, right? But they did set the trajectory for all of us, for all of humankind. We have this thing of death in the physical. Our bodies decay now. Plants, animals, everything that was created is now on this path toward death. There's a spiritual death as well, as when they ate of that fruit, they lost the righteousness that they were created in. So their eyes were opened, all right. They became very aware of good and evil, and they had this knowledge now. So with plugging into self, now they've become self-reliant. And We know that that's not adequate. We also know, if you think about in this space, there are the columns over here, there's the wooden posts over here, there's this thing. These things don't need power, right? But so the lights, all the electronics behind me, this headset, they all need an external power source. And I cannot plug this pack that I'm wearing into itself to get power, right? It needs a battery, it needs solar power, it needs electrical power. And that's how we're created. We're not created to get power from ourselves. We need an external power source. So if we look at this, then we can see how this is not going to work, that Adam and Eve are relying on themselves. So we've got incomplete humans that are in charge now. And it sounds kind of scary. This knowledge of good and evil is an inadequate source of life. So now they are living their life by knowing good and evil instead of knowing the person of God. Okay, I'll say that again. So now Adam and Eve are living their lives by knowing good and evil instead of knowing the person of God as they had been up until that moment. So again, I'm proposing that sin isn't a set of behaviors, but rather it's this condition of being disconnected from God. It's unplugging from God, plugging into self. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they became very aware of right and wrong, and again, of death. They immediately knew something was wrong. They ate the fruit. And then what happened? They heard God walking, and what did they do? They hid. And then what did they do? They started covering because they realized they were naked. They were naked before that. But there was nothing wrong with that, right? So now we have, they're hiding, they're feeling shame. They start blaming each other too, because all of a sudden now, because we're relying on ourselves, well, it wasn't me. You know, we start pointing and we start blaming other people instead of taking responsibility. They're no longer connected to God. They're empty, disconnected, and they know it. See, this emptiness and this disconnection, that is what leads us into these behavioral issues that we would call sin. We're empty and it drives us towards something, towards anything that will soothe that gnawing awareness that something isn't right. So how do we do that? How do I fill the emptiness? How do I, with who or with what? And we're not going to dive into that this morning. That could be a whole nother talk about what we do to fill those voids. But the good news this morning that I want to make sure that we hit is that Jesus came. And Jesus came to give us life, to give us life abundantly. So we'll dive into that a little bit, but first I want to give you a visual. Some of us learn by hearing, some of us learn by seeing, so I want to hit it at a little different angle this morning with some pictures. And the picture you'll see behind you is two trees in the garden. So on your left is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On your right is the tree of life. The next slide you'll see I've made the names a little bit shorter, and I've called it self and God. Just for the sake of, that's a long phrase, knowledge of good and evil. Now I want you to notice the branches on the tree of self. You'll see good branches, you'll see evil branches. And that scribble is a result of the wrong stylus with the iPad. But there you go, that's what you got. So we might say, good things. We would say good things would be coming to church, giving, serving, helping the poor, and not doing bad things, which we would say might be stealing, lying, cheating, all of those lists of things, right? The thing I want you to notice now as we're looking at this tree is that those things are both on the same tree. So the things we say are good and bad are both in the same tree of self. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. God's goal, God is not interested in trying to get you off an evil branch and onto a good branch. He wants you in this tree. He is not trying to get you off of the evil branch and off and onto the good. He wants you in his tree. And if you see that the branches in the tree of life and in the tree of God are love, 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 love. It's love. When we sit in the branches of love, in the branches of God's love, our life is organized by it, and then our behaviors follow. See, we get it backwards so often. So let's break it down a little bit more. In the tree of self, or we can call it disconnection or emptiness, we live by knowing rules. And we are our own source for solutions. We have to create these rules to guide ourselves, right, for good and bad. Because somewhere along the line, somebody said, that stop sign means you need to stop. You shouldn't, you know, all the list of bad things. Somebody somewhere along the lines decided that that was how we were supposed to be guided. Well, actually, it kind of goes back to after the fall, and man was left to their own devices, and then Moses is like, goodness sakes, help me, these people are crazy, right? So he has a meeting with God. God's like, okay, fine, here are the rules, and he gave him the Ten Commandments. But that's the mess that we made of it, trying to do things on our own. So, the tree of life. In this tree, we are connected to God, and we live by love and by knowing the person of God. God sent his son Jesus to be that example for us, to show us how to love in spite of everything around us. And as we're connected to God, the Holy Spirit is our source and is our guide. Okay, back to the tree of self. We're driven by emptiness and disconnection. And because we're feeling this, like I said earlier, we have that void that we're trying to fill. That's when we medicate to numb. We try to seek other connections. We can throw in here sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Those are things that we try to do to fill that void. And again, as I'm saying this, I want you to hear, like, we're not saying that these things are sin per se, but they are the root of a bigger problem of relying on ourselves and relying on the things that we can see and we can know instead of plugging into God. Okay, when we're in the branches of love and in the tree of God, we're driven by that love and that true life and that connection to God. See, transformation naturally happens when we're in that tree. And when we're plugged into God and his love, because he can guide us through love, not a series of rules and behaviors. We can love as he loves. So to sum that up, we choose love and the behavior follows. All right, in the tree of self, we function out of our heads. Again, because we're aware now of what is good and what is evil. And so we have to come up with all these solutions and these ways to control ourselves and our behaviors. Whereas if we're in the tree of life, we function out of our hearts. And it's not about what we do, but who are you and whose are you? This tree is, just think heart. That's where we function out of instead of what we know. In the tree of self, we try to avoid bad, all of those bad things that we would call sin, because we're aware of them, because we're aware of what we have determined is bad. So we try to control our behavior, and we create these rules and laws to judge each other and to judge ourselves. I think sometimes we judge ourselves about as much as we do each other. But we try to avoid, try to control our behaviors. But if we're in the tree of life, We're living a lifestyle of freedom. Freedom being the presence of God, not the absence of sin. So we want to live in this lifestyle of freedom. And friends, it's not a once and done. It's not you ask Jesus into your heart and, woo, I'm free. And I never have to do anything else about it. If any of you were driving on the roads, like say Thursday, Friday this week, I'm guessing you didn't take your hands off the steering wheel. I know I was white knuckling it to Granger, because it's not that it was just icy, but sometimes it was slushy. And the times that I might have driven with my knee, because yeah, I do that, I was not gonna let my hands off, because if I let go of that tension, my car would send me to the ditch. I mean, that's where I would have ended up, or in front of another car. So we have to keep this tension, because our default mode is self. We're born selfish. Can I get an amen from everybody that has kids? Yeah, I know. I mean, we're born that way. So we have to keep this tension. We have to be very focused on staying aligned. We talk about that a lot here. Making our focus this way first. Keeping our alignment with what Jesus says about us and about our next steps. If we're not aligned first, our next step could be off, even if it's a good next step. Let me give you another analogy of this. So for those of you that cut hair or have had your hair cut, which is everybody in here, if you want a good haircut, your stylist will, like, the first cut will be the guide, right? So she's going to determine the length of your hair and the shape of that cut by that first cut. That first cut is the guide, and then every other cut is measured to that. At the end of that, you have, hopefully, a fabulous haircut. I will tell you, if that first cut was off, you might have a fabulous haircut, but it might not be anything you wanted. It might be the wrong look. It might be too short, too long, not set, you know, whatever it is. So that first cut is super important. Another example would be, you might be a really good person. Like, you follow the rules to a T. But if you're following the rules, you're still following self. That was me. I was pathetically a good kid. Like, I was just a good kid, and I studied hard, I knew the rules, and I followed them. But guys, I was still in that tree. Like, I was a really good person, but I was good because I was following what I knew to be good. I knew Jesus. I was raised in a Christian home, went to church. But I wasn't functioning out of that. I was functioning out of what I knew. So again, back to this thing of being in the right tree. Do you see the difference in those two trees? So if we are aligned, if we're in the tree of life, and we make alignment a lifestyle, then we can live this lifestyle of freedom, because he is our guide. He knows it all. It'd be like me trying to do a puzzle without the picture. That would be no fun at all. I need that guide. So we've established that Adam and Eve have kind of messed up, but then God sends Jesus, right? He sends Jesus to get us back into righteousness, into right living, and back to our true identity. As I mentioned early, like, God saw the mess that was made, and he sent Jesus. And if you think about it, Jesus, like, he did some really tough stuff, but he did the work of his Father. He didn't give in to self. He did the next right thing every time. I want to move into Romans 8. And before you get out your phones or your Bibles, I'm going to ask you this morning if you would just listen. listen with your heart as I read through some of these pages. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, and I'm just going to be kind of jumping around, so I don't want you trying to follow along to be a distraction. Romans 8, the very first sentence says, "So now the case is closed." What case? But if you look back into chapter 7, which talks about the purpose of the law and life under the law, the last part of Romans 7, Paul is saying, "The longings to do what is right are within me, but my willpower is not enough to accomplish it." Yeah, we know that, right? "My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. So if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder hindering me from being who I really am. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One." He says again, "So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin. But now my renewed mind is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principles," or God's righteous law, which we say is what? God's law is love. Yes, love, love. So now we move into Romans 8. He said, "There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by human weakness." See if you can see the two trees in here. "Yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the power of guilt and sin over us. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by thy dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds peace and life." And I'm saying that is freedom. "The Spirit of Christ empowers your life. You are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because Christ lives his life in you. His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we can taste his abundant life." When you have time this week, read the rest of Romans 8. I just danced on it. Actually, you can start in 7. There's just great, great, powerful truths in this. But to wrap it up, because I don't have 2 hours, to wrap it up, I just want to give you some questions to ponder as you think through this week. First question is, which kingdom do you empower? Because our lives do one or the other. So are you empowering the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God? Which tree are you sitting in? Are you sitting in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The good branches, of course. Or are you sitting in the tree of life? Who is in charge of your life? Are you on the throne or is God? Do you align with him first and let him order your life? See, our Christian journey should be one of becoming more and more like Jesus. Our hearts becoming more like the heart of the Father, not in trying not to sin. And if sin is not a set of behaviors, but rather anything that we turn to instead of turning to God in filling that void of disconnection with anything else, then we need to get our focus off of our behaviors and in trying to change, and instead meditate on God's love. Spend time in prayer, and not just praying, but listening. Spend time reading His Word, reading about the love of God. But I'm telling you guys, it's tricky because even those disciplines can become something that we do to achieve and just check off our list, and we're right back in that tree again. Embrace these disciplines as a way to focus on God and to let Him guide you. Let Him guide your behaviors, your next steps. You know, we pray, God, show me your ways. Show me who you are. Show me who I am. And show me what is next. And then we have to trust Him. Trust Him to guide us and to help us love well. We want to filter everything we do and say through the eyes of Jesus. Say, God, how do you see this person that is so hard for me to love? How do you see my circumstances that seem like the water's high? How do you see me? Ask Him those questions. Let go of judgment and grab onto freedom. Freedom, it's not the absence of boundaries. It's not necessarily a change in our circumstances or relationships. But freedom is you and I acting and reacting as the person that you and I were created to be. Circumstances don't necessarily change, but when we trust Him and we let go, God gives us exactly what we need to navigate the situations, the relationships, the people, the high waters. He gives us what we need in those moments to show His glory. So remember, it's this constant realigning, this constant, God help me, God show me, sometimes many times a day, like a hot day in the summer when we need more than one shower, right? So don't feel condemnation or guilt or anything when you feel like you've kind of gotten out of line. Just realign often. It's turning to Him first. It's not relying on our own knowledge. It's choosing love first and getting to know God's unconditional and crazy, crazy big love. It's not controlling our behaviors in hopes of getting more love or being able to be more loving. It's being loved and then living out of that. I want to read the last verse in chapter 8 to you that talks about this crazy love. He says, "So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that this love will triumph over death and life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstance that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One." So friends, let's get into that tree.